Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Shalom aleichem. Yaakov Glasser. Nice to meet you. Welcome. Wonderful. Okay. Nice to have you. Okay, everyone. So we'll pick up. I know we're on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, but we'll pick up just from the last few lines of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. About one, two, three, four lines from the bottom. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. So Tanya, we learned in a brisa. So the Gemara is discussing Rosh Hashanah and what happens in our judgment. We spend Rosh Hashanah davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have a good Gezar Din. And the Gemara says the following. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai says, Gimel Kitos Hein Liyom Adin. There are three different groups when it comes to the experience of Yom Hadin. Achas shel tzadikim gemurim. One group is the tzadikim gemurim. Nichtavim v'nichtamin la'altar l'chaye olam. And they are written and they are sealed immediately for a chaye olam, for a eternal life. They're in good shape. Rishayim gemurim. Then we have the absolute rishayim. Nichtavim v'nichtamin la'altar l'gehenim. They are written and they are sealed immediately to go straight to Gehenim. Shenemar, as it says, V'rabim miyoshnei admas ofer yakitsu, eile lechaye olam ve'eile lecharpas ledorum. Right? That there are many from those who are sleeping on the dust of the earth, that so some of them are going to the chaye olam, and some of them are going elsewhere. Then the Gemara says, what about the Beinunim? What about the people in the middle? Says Rashi, Mechza al Mechza. Rashi says, Risham Gemurim Rubam Avonos. So what's a tzaddik? What's a tzaddik here? Tzaddik means you have more mitzvos than you do averos. What's a rasha? You have more averos than you do mitzvos. The Rishonim already point out that we're not just talking about a quantified evaluation here, that different mitzvos and different averos have obviously different levels of merit and demerit. We're not even always sure exactly what that cheshbon is, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. But there is some sort of evaluation that does take place, which obviously takes into account everybody's weaknesses and strengths, everybody's background, everybody's everything, and a comprehensive, you know, I don't know if anybody's had this experience in management, a 360, right? Where they go and they ask, they evaluate you based on your subordinates, based on your colleagues, and based on your superiors. And then create one large evaluation of you, usually to fire you. So the Gemara says, right? Very rare that you get, boss says, I'm doing a 360 so we can give you a raise, right? Usually it's not the best, although many now do it just to make everyone better. So the Gemara says, so you have your evaluation. So if you are a tzaddik, you're nechtav nechtam la'altar l'chaim olam. If you're a rasha, Legehenim. What if you're a Beinoni, says Rashi? Mechza al Mechza. You're a good guy, but you know, you don't do everything right. You do a lot of things right, you know, Baruch Hashem. Do the best you can. So the Gemara says, good news. Yardim legehenim. You do go to Gehenim. However, umitzavtsevin v'olin, Rashi says, tzokim u'bochin mitoch yisurin sha'achas v'olin. You spend some time in Gehenim, but not as a destination, as a transformative and cleansing and atoning experience. Says the Gemara, Shenemar ve'evesi es ashlishis. I'll bring that third group, ba'esh, into the fire of its sarfasim kitzorof es akesef. Will cleanse them like we purify silver. Ubechana asim kivchon es azov, and will refine them like we cleanse gold. Hu yikare b'shmi, and they'll call out in my name. Vani aneo so, and I will answer them. Va'aleim amra chana, and that's what Chana says. Hashem meimis umechaye. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu causes death, meaning you go down to Gehenim u'mechaye, and then gives life. Morid Sheol, by causing one to go down to the Sheol, to the Gehenim, the Yoal, and coming up. So that's what happens to the Beinonim who are Mechza al Mechza. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, no, so that's Beis Shammai's theory with the Beinonim. The Beinonim go to Gehenim, they spend some time there, and then ultimately get out. Rashi says, Shah Achas. We're going to see that other times are given. 12 months might be the category. We're all familiar with the fact we truncate Kaddish before the conclusion of Avelus, because we don't want to indicate that they needed the full 12 months, and all these things are a little difficult to understand. Time stamps on, time categories on spiritual worlds are a little bit hard for us to understand because these worlds exist transcendent of time. So what exactly that means, that there is a demarcation of time.
But this isn't talking about death. So, this is saying that Rosh Hashanah, we're judged for it.
This is talking about your gzar din on Rosh Hashanah, what you need for kapara. So you'll either, so if you're a tzaddik, you're good to go. If you're a rasha, it's not going to be good. And if you're a benoni, then this is what you would need for your kapara.
But you're talking about Gehenim for a year, like we had a first made sure.
If you're dead, right? Correct.
If you died during the year, then
correct.
That would be
correct. The Rishonim also talk about what exactly were if this is really focused on Rosh Hashanah, or if this is also there are three different times that we're judged. We're judged on Rosh Hashanah, we're judged in Yom HaMisa, and we're also judged B'Yemos HaMashiach. We have to see who's in, who's out. You know who's part of moving forward. Correct. That it's already by Tchiyas HaMeis. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel Amrim v'Rab Chesed. Beis Hillel says, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rab Chesed. Mata klapei Chesed. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, Ho mechza mechza hei mata esachro l'tzad zchus v'en yordim l'gehenim. So Beis Hillel says, no, that if you're a mechza al mechza, then you will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of his Chesed, you don't deserve to be spared this experience. However, out of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you won't go to Gehenim. Ba'aleim Amar David, and that's what David says, Ahavti, I love ki yishma Hashem es koli. Hashem listens to my voice. Ba'aleim Amar David, ka apar shekula, this is what David's referring to altogether, dalosi, that if I'm low, v'liyo shia, and me he will save. So that's the sheet of Beis Hillel. What about poshe Yisrael begufan, u'poshe umos ha'olam begufan? What about violators of Klal Yisrael that violate things begufan? The Gemara is going to explain what that means with their body. And poshe umas ha'olam. We know that they also get judged on Rosh Hashanah, or in general. So, right? Well, they're also poshim begufan. So the Gemara says, yardim legehenim, they go to Gehenim, v'nidonim ba yud beis chodesh. And they're judged for 12 months. La'achar yud beis chodesh. What happens after 12 months? Gufan kala, their bodies are consumed, v'nishmasam nisrefes, and their souls are burnt, v'ruach mifazrason tachas kapos ragle tzadikim, and their spirit is spread out below the legs of the tzadikim. And that, some of the mefarshim say, is a schus for them, so that there's at least some connection to the tzadikim. Shenemar v'asosim roshoim, ki u'efer tachas kapos raglechem, the remnants of the roshoim will be like dust under the feet. And so that's what happens if you are a poshe Yisrael begufan or poshe umas ha'olam begufan. Aval, what if you don't violate the standards of the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, begufan with your body, but rather haminim, if you do it with your mind, right? So you're a heretic, v'amesoros, you give over Jewish people, v'apikorsim, you're an apikoris, shekafru b'torah, v'shekafru b'tchiyas ha'meisim, you kofer b'Torah, you kofer b'tchiyas ha'meisim, v'shepirshu midarchei tzibur, you separate yourself from the path of the tzibur, v'shenosnu chisisam be'eretz chayim, the Gemara is going to explain later what that means, v'shechatu, you sin, v'ichtiu es harabim, and you cause others to sin, kigon Yeravam ben Nevat, v'chaverav, like Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was the one who led the rebellion against Rehavam, by not allowing, when the split happened in the kingdom of the Jewish people, by not allowing people from the other tribes to return and come back to the Beis HaMikdash, to go to Yerushalayim, and that further split the Jewish people. So what happens to those people? Yardin leGehenim. They also go to Gehenim. V'nidonim bo ledorei doros. And they remain in Gehenim for eternity. Shenemar, as it says, v'yatzu re'u b'pigrei anoshim aposhim. Gehenim kala, even if Gehenim were to end, v'heinenim kolin, they're not, they wouldn't be completely ended. Shenemar v'tzurim levalos sheol, that they somehow like outlast the sheol. It's basically metaphorical to mean that has no coming back. For them, Gehenim is not a cleansing experience, but rather it is a there is a finality to it. V'chol kach lama, why such an overwhelming response to these people? They shepash the yedeim bezvul, because they assault the zvul. The zvul, the Gemara says, what's the zvul? Shenemar mizvul lo ve'ein zvul, because of them There's no zivul. Ve'ein zivul ela beis hamikdash. The zivul refers to the beis hamikdash. And emar bana banisi beis zivul lecha, build me a house of zivul. And therefore, v'alei amamro, and it says also on them, Chana would say, Hashem yichtu merivav, Hashem cut off from them. So in other words, the idea is that since these people essentially assault, not only, this is not just a mitzvah ben adam lamakom, that they're not doing the mitzvos begufo the way they should be. Rather, they stand in contradistinction to the foundations of the future of the Jewish people. And because of them, the Beis HaMikdash is not being rebuilt. Because of them, there is a crisis of faith in the Jewish people. Because of them, they don't just sin themselves, but they cause others to sin. They're responsible for that type of influence. And therefore, that is considered pretty much unforgivable.
No, it's hard to say that. I just find it hard to understand how you're saying that it's because of them, let's say, that the Beis HaMikdash is not being rebuilt. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because we didn't say a certain bracha? Because we didn't say...
That was second by Shane.
Okay, it's the second by. I'm saying, like, it's destroyed because we didn't say Berachas HaTorah properly.
Right.
Because we weren't nice to people.
Right.
So now you're taking the other opposite extreme of that, saying, hey, we were still good people, we just didn't say Berachas HaTorah
no,
properly.
So the difference is, so sometimes the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of a particular sin that the Jewish people did. So doing that sin, obviously, is partly responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But of course, if we're able to correct that sin, then we could shift the trajectory in a different direction. These are people who are not doing the sins. These are people who are creating an atmosphere and an environment where those sins are promoted, where those sins are facilitated. These are people who undermine the capacity of Klal Yisrael to change direction, because they're being machtiyas harabim. It's one thing to say, in my own private life, I'm not such a nice person, and as a result, the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. And I have to work on that. I have to be a better person so that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. But if I'm responsible of ensuring that you aren't going to do your part in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, because I have somehow created an atmosphere that is hostile to other people growing, that is a much greater problem. And I think that's true in general. You know, think about the way very often schools deal with behavior problems, right? So if a child is misbehaving in a classroom, you do everything you possibly can to address those issues. When did the conversation begin about the possibility of removing the child from the classroom? Only when the problems are resulting in other people not being able to learn, in other people not being able to do what they need to do. Then, I'm not saying that should always be the consequence, but then you begin to explore that possibility. Why? Because it's one thing to be, you know, lacking in and of yourself. That we can work on. But if you're creating a situation where you're not allowing others to be able to do that, so we have to do everything we can to fix that, but if we can't, then we have an achrayus to the rabbim to be able to. So this has always been. This is why leadership has so much potential, and this is why leadership is also something that you have to take very seriously. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin ufneim domim l'shole kedera. The people who go through this, those beinonim who go to Gehenna for a short period of time and then come back, their faces are scorched like the bottom of a pot. That Rashi says that even though you can clean the bottom of a pot, it still always has that black on the bottom. The Amar Rava ve'inu mishpirei shepirei b'nei mechuza. Even these people are like as good looking as the b'nei mechuza. I guess people from b'nei mechuza was like the Miami of Babylonia, right? Like everybody that came out of there was just like 6 feet and a 10, you know, so even though they look whatever, they still, even though if they're such good-looking people, nevertheless, they still have some sort of darkened umekayer and b'nei Gehenna. Amar Mar, says the Gemara, Beis Hillel omrim v'rab chesed mata klapi chesed. So Beis Hillel said, what do we do with these beinonim? We point them towards the direction of chesed. V'aksiv, but didn't we quote a pasuk with regards to Beis Shammai's shita? Ve'evesi es ashishus be'esh, that we bring that third category, ba'esh, and they have to be purified. So what do you do with that pasuk? We have a pasuk that indicates they have to be purified, the beinonim, and yet we have the sheet of Beis Hillel that says they don't have to be purified, but rather they have to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed says they can survive.
Because
So Hasam Beposhe Yisrael Begufon Beposhe. So the Hasam Beposhe Yisrael Begufon. That's talking about a case where they were Mechza al Mechza, but they were also Poshe Yisrael Begufon. So if you're Mechza al Mechza and you just do regular sins, we're going to talk for in a minute what those greater sins are. But if you're Mechza al Mechza and you just do regular sins, so then you can be subject to Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai would say you're going to Gehenim. And Beis Hillel would say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you chesed and he'll make sure everything's okay. If you're Mechza al Mechza and you're over on Poshe Yisrael Begufon, then even Beis Hillel would agree that that's a situation that does not necessarily, that would need the cleansing Gehenim, not the final Gehenim. So again, we have the Tzadikim, they're good to go. We have the Rishayim, they're not good to go. They're there for good. They're going to go to Gehenim for good. We have the Mechza al Mechza, who are not Poshe Yisrael. If you're not a Poshe Yisrael, Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Mechza al Mechza that are Poshe Yisrael, and that, according to everyone, would need the cleansing Gehenim. So the Gemara says, Poshe Yisrael Begufon, the Ha Amarta Lesle Takanta. Poshe Yisrael Begufon, we said, have no Takana. Ki Lesle Takana Berov Avonos. That's only where it's Rov Avonos. Hacha Mechza Avonos Umechza Zechuyos. V'ispe nami avon de poshe Yisrael begufon. So the Gemara is just explaining what I just said, that when it's mechza al mechza, and it's also poshe Yisrael begufon, that's when you have no takon. Lo sagile, delavd ve'evesi es ashlishes ve'esh. Then you can't get cleansed without the cleansing of Gehenim. So the Gemara says, "V'rav v'imlav," and if not, if you're not poshe Yisrael begufon, v'rav chesed mata klapi chesed, and that's it. V'aleihem Omar David, and on them David says, "Ahavti ki yashma Hashem," that I love that Hashem hears, and that's that. Darash Rava makes a drasha. My dichziv ahavti ki yishma Hashem. Amra knesses Yisrael of Nekarish Baruch Hu. The Jewish people say before Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, Emasei ani ahuva lefanecha, when are we loved before you? Bizman sha'ata shamea kol tachanunai, when you hear the voice of our tachanunim, delosi, when we're low, v'liyo shia, and you can save us. Abba pi shadala, even though we're low down, ani min ha-mitzvos, no'elo shia. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu still seeks to save us. So again, there's still, even though we're in a state of sin, nevertheless, as long as that sin has not tipped the scale towards a complete and entrenched lifestyle of rishus, there's always the opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the chance to either give this chesed to us, that we can go the right way even though we're undeserving, or at least that we can, even if we really are deserving, that it could be a cleansing experience and not have a finality to it. Poshe Yisrael begufon my nihu. What is the Poshe Yisrael begufon that we're talking about here that's so terrible? Amar Rav Karkafta delo monach tefillin. That the person did not put on tefillin. And the Rishonim discuss some of the girsas of this Gemara say delo monach tefillin la'ola. Talking about somebody that doesn't put on tefillin at all. Tosas over here talks about the fact that if you don't put on tefillin because you're afraid that you won't have a gufnaki. Remember, there was we used to wear tefillin all the time. And then because people couldn't maintain a certain focus and cleanliness of body and mind, so then we went to not putting on tefillin all the time. So what this discusses that if a person, you know, is being absent in his observance of the mitzvah of tefillin because of other spiritual considerations, even if he's wrong, that's not called a poshe Yisrael. Other Rishonim say if a person doesn't put on tefillin because they make a mistake or because they're, you know, something happens, even in motivation, but that it's not lahachis, that they're, you know, against the sense of pride of tefillin, that tefillin is something that they literally do not want to do, lahachis. But the Gemara says, and some say that it really only refers to somebody who's lo monach tefillin la'olam, that they never put on tefillin. But whatever it is, and the Achronim even discuss, because the Torah quotes this Gemara in Hilchas Tefillin, and seems to say that it really refers to anybody who doesn't take Tefillin more seriously. But there's a discussion what exactly he meant over there. But the Gemara says, whatever it is, Tefillin is one of our most important mitzvos. Poshe Umos HaOlam, What does it mean, poshe umos ha'olam? What are those people? Begufan, with their bodies, amarav ba'averim. That refers to issues of arayos, issues of inappropriate relationships. V'shinasu chisasam be'eretz chayim. What?
That should be begufo too. I would think.
It is.
It is. That's beguf. No, it's poshe umos ha'olam begufan. What does that refer to them? Right, exactly.
You say that should also be for poshe Yisrael also.
Correct. Yeah. The Rishon discussed that. Correct. So, v'chisasam be'eretz chayim, what does that refer to? Amar Rav Chisda, zeparnei samatil ema yisera ala tzibur. This is a communal leader who exerts a certain degree of excessive fear and control over the community. Right, the people in positions of leadership. We live in a very democratic society, and so there are all sorts of checks and balances to our positions of leadership. Right, as we know. Right, even
at least we hope.
Right, even heads of big institutions. Right, there are hopefully boards. There are hopefully mechanisms to check and balance the power and abuse of power. Although certainly it happens. But you can imagine in a less democratic society, those who had control over the assets of the community or those who had control over the, you know, traditions of the community could exert a tremendous amount of influence and control. So if this is done for the purpose of self-aggrandization, or if this is done for the purpose of instilling fear and terror in the tzibur, shalo l'shem shamayim, that it's not done l'shem shamayim, so that's also somebody who's not necessarily going to be subject to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed in the mechza al mechza. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ha'parneis ha'matol ema yisrael ha'tzibur. Anybody who does this, shelo l'shem shamayim, ein aroe ben talmid chacham. You won't see his children be a talmid chacham. Shenemar lachen yiruhu anoshim lo yiroe kol chachmei lev. Right? People who instill fear in other people will not see the chachmei lev, the wisdom of the heart. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, V'rav chesed, mate klapi chesed, hechi ovid. So how does this work? So it's mechza al mechza. The scale is half and half, right? We all can picture sort of in our minds the little papers that the kids come home with for Rosh Hashanah night, right? With the little scale, it's half and half. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kovsho. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what happens is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu essentially pushes down a little bit on the mitzvah side, right? That's what he does. He's kovesh the mitzvah side. Shenemar Yishov Irachamenu Yichbosh Avonosov, conquers the Avonos by pushing a little more on that. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar, as Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, no say. That what Kodesh Baruch Hu does is it's not that he pushes down more on the Zichuyos, but he kind of lifts up the side of the Avonos, and that inevitably allows the Zichuyos to the fall. So I know this sounds a little elementary, but we don't have so much time to get into this right now, but these really are two different visions on what, with regards to what's happening when a Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in the process of din. What is a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? Is he sort of accelerating our sense of zechuyos, or is he to some degree minimizing the impact of our avonos? And the Mefarshim do discuss kind of a nafkamina between these two things with regards to whether or not at the end of the day we need kapara on those avonos altogether. In other words, even if the Gemara didn't... Yeah, in other words, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of accelerates the value of the zechuyos, so the avonos are still there. It's just in the Gemara din, you know, things are calculated based on that.
So you have on that scale. Tshuva to do on
but
that
yeah, I have
side.
Tshuva to do on all the avonos. But if you view it as a Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of, you know, gives you some free rides over there on the avonos, so maybe there's less to consider. So there's a lot to talk about here, but not for now. So no say avon over al pesha. Hashem carries the sin and he's over al pesha. He passes over iniquity. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Mabir Rishon. You know how this works? It says Hashem passes over the first, what does that mean? V'cheini amido. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu does. He sort of takes off the first,
like a teacher,
the first of the sin. Exactly, the teacher drops the lowest grade. Right? Exactly. So that's where that comes from. Right? Teacher drops the lowest grade. Right? So Amar Rava, so says Rava, v'avon atzmo eino nimchak. However, when the teacher drops the lowest grade, you're still responsible for that sin. It's just not accounted for in the... So in other words, if you do hit more avonos than mitzvos, then now you are responsible for the lowest grade, which makes sense, right? If the teacher drops the lowest grade, but then the kid never gets above 52, so it's not like the parents are like, I'm punishing you for your semester of low grades. The kid doesn't say, well, you can only punish me for 4 tests, not 5 tests, because you dropped the lowest grade, right? Mm-hmm. No, by this point, you're going to be responsible for all 5 tests. At least that's how I remember it, right? So Gemara says, "Di ikar ruba avonos machshiv ba'adayu," that if there are more avonos than mitzvos, you still are responsible for everything. Rava Amar Rava says, "Kol amabri al midosav mavirin lo al kopshav." So this, I think, is one of the most accessible pathways to kapara that we should all think about really a lot, and it's very difficult. And that is anybody who's mavir al midosav. That means that you are not makpid on things that people do to you. That means even when you're right, even when you're right, you let it go. If we let it go for others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets it go for us. Shenemar no se avon v'over al pesha. It says Hashem carries the sin and he passes over iniquity. Lemi no se avon. For who does he carry sin? Lemi sheover al pesha. For those that allow of the iniquities of others to move on. And that's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult when you are legitimately entitled to a negative response because somebody has done something to you and they are wrong and you are right. But to let it go, afal pikein, and not to say to them, you know, you're wrong and I'm right, but I'm letting it go, afal pikein. but to just let it go, that is one of the greatest opportunities that we have that's biyadeinu for tshuva. Rav Huna braid Rav Yoshua, and we have a story about this. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, chalash, she became very sick. All Rav Papa lishulebe, Rav Papa came to visit him. And he saw that he was really starting to die. So Amar Lahu, he says, Tzavisule Zudasa. Bring us the burial shrouds. Lesof, what happened in the end? Ispach, he got better. So Hava Mechasif Rabbi Yehuda Lemechse. So Rav Papa was a little embarrassed to go visit him after having basically started planning the funeral, and making all the arrangements and calling the chapel. Now to go back and to visit him. So Amar Leh, my chazis, Amar Leh, so they say to him, what did you see when you went through this experience? So he says, En hachahavi, no, Rav Papa was right, that it really was my time. The Amar Lehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hovelo Mukum B'Milei, since I was not makpid on Milei, on matters that happened to me, lo takumu ba'adei. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to take me right now. So literally, he had a near-death experience. Near-death experience where he realized that Imamish, based on everything that he had done, his time was up. However, he was ma'aver al midosa. Shenemar no se avon va'over ha'pesha. Lami no se avon. To what HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried the avon, la'over pesha l'sheiris nachla so. That's the end of that pasuk. To the remnants of his nachla. Amar Rabbi Yachav Bar Chanina, alei v'kotzba. That means that there's like a fat tail. Rashi says, shemeina aliyah, the fat tail, yeshkan, meaning there's a wonderful part, v'kotzba, and there's a thorn in it. Kolomar davar tanchumin yeshkan, v'yesh b'tachu davar kasha shena shava lakol. So this concept of Mavra Midosav, no se oven over al pesha, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. But there's one thorn in the side of this idea. What is it? L'she'eris nachaloso, below l'chol nachaloso. It doesn't work for everybody. What is it doesn't work for everybody? Says the Gemara on Daf Beis. L'mi she'meisim atzmok sherim. Right? So it doesn't work if you are essentially doing this not out of your own anava. In other words, if you say that I'm letting it go because I'm not being makpin on my covet. I'm not, you know. So then that works. But if it's essentially like some sort of ploy, like, oh, you know, Taka, it was Mechal Shem Shemaim this week, so I might as well let this go so that I can, you know. And if it's a sense of, or if it's a sense of arrogance, if it comes from a sense of arrogance, so that's also a problem. Rav Huna brought a contradiction. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, Tzadik Hashem Bechol Derechav. Hashem is righteous. He's a tzadik. He's tzodek in how he deals with us. V'ksiv v'chassid b'chol masav. But it says he's also a chassid. V'tchila tzadik l'vsov. So how does that work? is Tzidkus refers, we mentioned this in Shul a couple weeks ago about Noach. Tzidkus comes from the word sodek, which means to justify. Tzedek means justice. It means, so v'hitzdiku es atzadik, v'yeshu es arasha. You exonerate the tzadik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that sounds like he's a person of justice, he's a being of justice. And v'chassid b'chol ma'asav sounds like he's altruistic in how he relates to Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, b'tchila tzadik, Hashem first approaches the din with tzidkus, with judgment, u'lebasof, but in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chassid. He'll go lifnim, Rashi says, min ashura. Ulubasof, Kishira, Shein Olam is Kayim Bidin, when Hashem realizes that he can't judge everybody based on Tzidkus. If he does, he'll have a lot of empty community. It's just not gonna work. We need Hashem's chesed in order to make it through the day. So that's where he lands. So it says the Gemara Rabbi Lezer Miksev, a similar idea. V'lecha Hashem chesed, uksev ki ata tashlim le'ish k'maseyu. It says Hashem's a being of chesed, also says Hashem does to man according to his ma'isim. B'tchila ki'ato tashim k'maseh. In the beginning, Hashem does according to the ma'isim. L'basof, but in the end, l'cha Hashem chesed. Ilfi, v'amr lo, Ilfi, some say, Ilfa said this, Rami, kos k'sa b'rav chesed. Hashem is full of chesed. B'ksiv v'emes. Also says Hashem is of truth. Truth means you get what you deserve. B'tchila v'emes. In the beginning, he treats with emes l'basof for rav chesed. So we know that after the Chet Ego, Shem passes before us, before Moshe, Vayikra, and he calls. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yomalei Mikra Kosov. If we didn't have the pasuk to teach us, the Efshel Amar, we couldn't say this. But the tradition is Melamed Shenisatev Hakadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibur. Hashem wrapped himself as a Shliach Tzibur. Veherolo LeMoshe, and he showed Moshe Seder Tefila, how to daven for the exoneration of the Jewish people. Amar lo, he said to him, Kol zman Yisrael chotim, any time Klal Yisrael does a sin, Ya'asu lefanai k'seder azeh, you should do before me like this seder, meaning you should say the Yud Gimel Midos. That's what you should do. The Reishis Chachma, we quoted this on Slichos night, but it was at 12:30 at night. I'm sure everyone remembers. I barely remember, right? That the Reishis Chachma says, what does it say? Ya'asu k'seder azeh, and not yispalalu. Seder Azeh. It should say that you should pray like this. Why does it say you should do like this? It says because the Yud Gimel Midos, what is the Yud Gimel Midos about? It's not just about acknowledging and affirming that Hashem is Kel Rachum B'chanun. It's Mahu Rachum Avator Rachum. Mahu Chanun Avator Rachum. Mahu Erech Apayim Avator Erech Apayim. If we behave in a godly fashion, in a manner of Rachmanus, in a manner of Erech HaPayim, if we behave in that fashion, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate and judge us in that manner. Ya'asu lefanai k'seder azeh. You should behave, you should comport yourself before me in this way. V'ani mochel lahem, and I will forgive them. Hashem, Hashem, ani hu kodem shiyachta adam, ani hu la'acha shiyachta adam. It says Hashem, Hashem. Why does it say Hashem twice? I am Hashem of mercy. This is right. Elohim is judgment. Hashem is mercy. So I'm Hashem, I'm a God of mercy before you did the sin, and I'm a God of mercy even after you did the sin. Somebody showed him, say, I'm a God of mercy before you did the sin, even though Hashem knows we're going to do the sin, right? Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still treats us with mercy. He doesn't treat us with an anticipatory sense of judgment, knowing that the disappointment is coming. Hashem still treats us with mercy. I think that's also an important point, right? Very often, sometimes we like define people based on what we know is going to happen next, and we kind of pre-act based on that assumption. One of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to always be pushing the reset button, even though you know, statistically speaking, you're headed towards a train wreck, right? But nevertheless, the confidence that you show in people, that ultimately, long-term, that's what really can... That's very important in terms of chinuch, in terms of our relationships with people. Hashem, Hashem. We have to be a rachum before and a rachum after. So, v'yase tshuva. Aniu la'acha shechata adam v'yase tshuva. I'm merciful before, I'm merciful after he does tshuva. El rachum v'chanun, omar rav Yehuda, bris krusa li'yud gimel midos. There's a covenant with the yud gimel midos. She'ein echozros reikam. If you use the yud gimel midos, you won't be returned empty. She'nemar, as it says, hinei anochi koreis bris. This Gemara is also the source. Some of the poskim write that the Yud Gimel Midos, because it describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Shliach Tzibur, maybe the Yud Gimel Midos should only be said with a minion. and that if a person is not with a minion, they shouldn't say the Yogim Omidos. That's Trump. Also a big discussion. Trump, correct. So, because that's the question. In other words, it's really just
minion,
psukim.
If you're not with a minion, then say it with Trump.
Right. So, in other words, not with a minion, you say it with Trump. So, it's sort of it being expressed or framed as Limud Torah. You're just saying psukim, which you're always permitted to do. You can say psukim Hashem's name anytime you want. But if you do it biderech tefillah, there seems to be some indicator here that that requires, if you're trying to access its full potential, then there's some sort of indicator here that that should be done in the context of a tzibur.
But Moshe was himself when he was
saved. Yeah, but he was being misspelled for B'nai Yisrael.
But he was still himself.
Ba'ad ha-tzibur.
Right, so that's also right. That's also a discussion. If it's really the direction here is it's a tefillah of a yachid, for the tzibur as opposed to for yourself.
So if I felt that I really needed, you know, Hashem's help in a certain point, I shouldn't necessarily be saying it because I'm not with a minion?
That's potentially correct. As a derech tefillah, that these Hashem. Or let's say you didn't make it to shul for slichot. Not you, chas v'shalom. Let's say somebody didn't make it to shul for... let's say you did go to 10 o'clock slichos, so now you want to be yotze, so you want to do it again. So, for those listening online, we have a 10 o'clock slichos. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, and it reaches a constituency that our shul does not usually reach, which is beautiful. So we should say the Tefillah Shalom Medina to 10 o'clock slichos. So Amar Rav Yochanan, says Rav Yochanan, Gedola Tshuva, Tshuva so great, Shemakres, Gzardino Shaladam. It tears up the Gzardin of a person. Shemar, as it says, Hishamin Leva Amazeb, Aznav, Hichbeid, Veinov, Hoshia, Pain, Yeroi, Veinov, Aznav, Yishma, Levavo, Yavin, Vishav, Virape, Lo. That the hearts are fat of this nation, and the ears are heavy, and the eyes are closed, because they're not seeing with their eyes, they're not hearing with their ears, they're not understanding with their hearts. But when they do tshuva v'rapelo, everything will be healed. So Amar le Rav Papa says, Rav Papa Rabbi, v'dim lifnei gzar din. Maybe he's talking about before the gzar din, right? So it has nothing to do with tshuva. Says the Gemara, Amar le v'rapelo. It says, no, you'll be healed, ksiv. Eizu dov shetzarech refua. What does it mean that it needs healing? It means something was sick, something was wrong. What was wrong? Aviyomer zeh gzar din, there was a gzar din. So meisiveh, we ask a question, Hashay ben atayim, those that do tshuva. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Ben Atayim, in the meantime, right? Says Rashi, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. So says the Gemara, Mochlin Lo, Hashem's Mochel Deb, Lo Shah Ben Atayim, if they didn't do Tshuva Ben Atayim, Afilu Hebi, Kol Ele Nevuyos Sheba Olam, even if you bring all of the Karbanos from this city, Navo, which had a lot of very impressive animals, Ein Mochlin Lo, he's not Mochel you. So which is it? Can you reverse the Gzar Din, Virapelo? Or can you not reverse the Gzar Din? Once Yom Kippur comes, that's it. That's the Gzar Din, right? 7-year-old asked me that question on Rosh Hashanah, right? Is that really it? Can you really, you know, with all the Nila drushas we give, yeah, that's it. But, you know, you could always, Gate of Tears, Gate of this, Gate of that, right? Or at some point, is this just, this is the Gemara Din, and we're done. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, it's not a question. Habi Yachid, Habi Tzibur. That one refers to the Yachid, and one refers to the Tzibur. When it comes to the Yachid, that's it. There's a Gzar Din, and that's your Gzar Din for the year. And you're going to live with that consequence. Now the Gemara is going to say that it's still possible to daven and do tshuva and impact how that consequence is applied. But this is real stuff. Yom Kippur is very real, right? So if a person goes through the process of tshuva and kapara, the Medrash says we have every right to assume that we emerge from that experience with confidence that we did it right. But if you didn't go through it at all, if you didn't, you know, if you didn't deal with it, if you didn't connect to it, if you didn't take it seriously, so then there is what to be concerned about. However, for the tzibur, that's different. So for the tzibur, maybe you can have a gemar din. You can reverse the gemar din. Meisvei, however, it says, Enei Hashem Elokecha ba'itim l'tova itim l'ra. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk that seems to say, the full pasuk here, that Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha doreish osa tamir Enei Hashem Elokecha ba mireishis hashana v'ad achris hashan. That through the whole year, sometimes Hashem is doing good things, and sometimes Hashem is doing bad things. The Gemara says, "Itim l'tova keitzan." What does it mean, Hashem? Is there a time for good? Harishayi Yisrael Rishon Gemurim. There, Yisrael, let's say, Rishon Gemurim. Rashana on Rashana. Upaskul lahem geshamim muatim, and it was decreed that they're going to have very little rain. Lasof at the end, Chazru bahen, they do tshuvas at Sibor. Lahosif aleyan. So Efshar, Hashem can't give them more rain. Shekvar nigzur gzera. There's already a gzera. Ela Kadosh Baruch Hu moridim bizmanam ala oretz atzricho lahen. Hakol lefia oretz. In other words, what Hashem does is, I can't give you more in quantity, but I could be more direct in how the rain comes to the world, so that its ultimate impact is greater. In other words, there is a limit to how much Shefa is going to come into the world, but that could also be directed in such a way that it has greater impact. What about Lara? Ketzach HaYisrael Tzadikim Gimurim. Let's say Yisrael was Tzadikim Gimurim Barash Hashanah. So we all did tshuva, and we all got a gzardin upasku aleim gesham berubim. And Hashem said there's going to be a lot of rain. L'so chazurahem. And then we renege. Then we become horrible rishayim. So what? So now Hashem's stuck. He has to give us a great year. So the Gemara says, no. Livchos mani efshar. So he can't give us less rain because he already committed. Shekvar nigzur gzera. Elokosh baruch hu maridim shalol bizmanam. What is Hashem going to do? He brings the rain
on the sidewalk,
right? On the sidewalks, on the, you know, not where we need it, and unfortunately, I mean, chas shalom, not to, you know, but unfortunately, we know that sometimes rain is a tremendous bracha, and you know, sometimes rain is a tremendous klal.
If it rains tremendously in Yerushalayim, it doesn't do anything. It needs to rain like
It needs to rain where we need it,
right?
It needs to rain where we need it. So the So there's still a tremendous amount of opportunity for Klal Yisrael to impact the that's, by the way, when we say Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGoshem, so why are we so worked up about the wind, right? And the answer is because the winds is sort of responsible for the ultimate hashkacha of where that rain is landing. In other words, the rain refers to the fact that there'll be rain. Mashiv HaRuach means that the storm systems and the, you know, are where they need to be, so that there's, you know, things fill up in the right way.
But everything is predestined anyway, meaning predestined because on Rosh Hashanah God decided this is what you're going to be getting. Why are we so mocked on this Mashiv HaRuach?
No, so that's the point, because it's predestined how much we're going to get, but it's still open how it's going to come. And so therefore, that's something we constantly doubt.
The Mashiv HaRuach is not that it should rain, but that we should really have it in the right place.
Correct. Or that it should come in a form of bracha.
Then we should say that.
The same talamatar
livracha. That's more appropriate than Mashiv HaRuach Amor Degesh.
Well, the Gemara and Tainus already discussed it. It's important to know the difference between those two things. Mashiv HaRuach Amor Degesh is not a tefillah for rain. That's, the Gemara says, that's what Birchas Hashanim is. It's an affirmation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kivura over the world, that he is the source of rain. And understanding that, or as part of that, part of our tefillah, understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of rain, is understanding not just in its quantity, but also in its distribution and how it happens. If rain comes in hurricanes and floods, then that's not a bracha. If rain comes in, you know, ways that help us end the drought in California so that people could finally, Baruch Hashem, wash their Jaguars without having limitations on the water, which is mamish, you know, for them is a real, that's a real, something they daven for on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's a serious thing, you know, so then it's obviously a source of bracha. And if it comes in Eretz Yisrael, and it can, then it's an even greater source of bracha. In New Jersey, weather is always... is what it is. Okay. So says the Gemara. So beloved banner arts shane tsrikhlan litova mil kari lgzardino velosif lahu shani hasams. The Gemara says the efshar bahari. So the Gemara says, well, if we're talking about the tzibur, so why do you have to start with how it's coming? We already said that for the tzibur, it could be the gzera itself could be reversed. So why can Hashem just limit it? So the Gemara says, no, because since Hashem could deal with the outcome this way, he deals with it this way. And that's an important thing to understand, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention in nature is always as limited as possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the reason for that is because real emunah comes from understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all nature altogether, right? That's where everything comes from. That's how the Rambam begins Hilchas Yisori HaTorah. The Rambam begins Hilchas Yisori HaTorah discussing the fact that there are planets and there are forces and there's physics and there's all sorts of things going on in the world. But we have to understand emunah means not to believe that those things don't exist. Of course those things exist. Of course there are physics. There's laws of physics. Emunah means to understand that there is a source to all of, there is a prime mover, in the words of, not the Rambam, right? That there is a source to all this energy. There is a source to all this initiative. And that source is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, runs the world through these forces. That's what it means. In this week's parasha, Hashem says to Abraham, you know, go outside and look at the stars and you're above the mazolos. What does that mean, you're above the mazolos? It's when the stars tell everybody what to do. We believe in astrology, you know, because I don't even know what I am. My wife told me once what I am. I was born in February. What does that mean?
Aquarius.
I'm a what?
Aquarius.
So.
End of February, beginning.
February 18th.
Beginning.
All right. Anyway, Lamaisa, right? So what does that mean? So that means that everything in the world contributes to the forces that exist that ultimately impact and influence the physics of the world and the circumstances that we encounter and the things that happen and everything, all the events are all ultimately rooted back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene in that process except in very exceptional circumstances, those miraculous, exceptional circumstances, so that we understand that's the way Hashem relates to the world. Why that is a topic for another time. It actually has a lot, that's a very relevant topic to the next Chag. The next Chag is Chanukah, right? The relationship between Teva and Lamala Min HaTeva. Very important theme in Chanukah. Tashma, says the Gemara, Yardei Hayam Ba'anoyos, you have sailors that go down into the ships. Osei Melacha B'mayim Rabim, Heimaro Maase Hashem, they do their melacha with a lot of water, and they see the Maase Hashem. V'yomer v'yamad ruach sa'ara, and a storm comes. Sarovim galav yachogu v'yino kishikor, and everything becomes like they're like a drunk. It's all v'yitzaku el Hashem, and they cry out to Hashem. Batzal Hashem yodu Hashem chasto, and Hashem saves them. They thank Him for His chesed. Oslem semanom saminios keachen v'reikin shebatora lomer lecha tzaku kodem gzar din. Nenin tzaku la'achar gzar din eino nenin. So the concept is that if you cry out before the gzar din, kodem gzar din nenin, then you can be responded to. You cry out after the gzar din, then eino nenin, because there's already gzar din. Hani nami ki yechidin domo. So the Gemara wants to know that why is this so? These are a group of sailors. They're at Sibor. If they're crying out to Hashem, how come they're not? How come they're not answered? So the answer is they're considered like yechidim. So when I saw this Gemara, I went back into my notes and I added it to the Kol Nidre Drasha. What does that mean? They're called yechidim. What does that mean? They're called yechidim.
Yeah, because they are.
Even if they're still a group davening,
even they're a group davening together. Why? Because each one's in it for themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're not really davening for each other. Everybody's in a state of crisis. And even though they're all in one space, even though they're in one place, they're all focused on themselves. What makes a group at Sibur is the interdependency, is when everybody is davening for each other, is when everybody's in a state of crisis, but everybody cares about everybody else. And since, I mean, the Rishonim talk about the fact that, you know, the way it used to work, I don't know if that's the way it works now, but the way it used to work is, you know, it wasn't like you had your sailor chevra. It's, you know, you wanted to get on the boat so you could do your fishing or do your whatever, and everybody would just, a group would just meet down there, and they would all get on the boat, and they would rent or whatever, and they would go on the ship. So there's nothing that tied these people together. So when we talk about a tzibur, when we talk about a community, we're not just talking about a group of individuals, each of whom are doing their own thing, but in a common space. We're talking about a group of people who all care about the fate of each other, even though their own fate is at stake. Think about that for a minute. Imagine you're in a experience of crisis, and you allow yourself not just to be worried about your own fate. And it's easy to say, I'm going to worry about somebody else when they're in trouble. I get a message that so-and-so is sick, so I'll daven for so-and-so. Well, that doesn't cost me anything, right? But if everybody is subject to a problem, if a storm's coming and it's threatening everyone, to go into shul and then not just daven for my home and for my safety and my well-being, daven for everybody else's, sincerely, really to care about what happens to everybody else, that when you get to a space like that, when you get to a level of that, that's a kehila, that's a community, that's what it means. Everybody got the toshma, shalom iluria ha-giyores, Luria the Giores asked Rabban Gamliel, it says in the Torah that Hashem, you know, that we're not allowed to favor, right? You know, favor different people. Everybody's treated equally. That Hashem will favor us. So how does that work? So Nidfa La Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Amar La, and he says to her, Em Shalucha Mashal, I'll give you a Mashal. Lamad Aradome, what's the Mashal? La'adam shenosu b'chaver omana, a person borrows $100 from his friend. They kavalo zman b'fnei amelech, and they come before the king, and they say, the guy says to his friend, I am going to repay you the $100. V'nishbalo b'chaye amelech, and I swear on the life of the king. Higia zman, the time comes, v'lo paru, he doesn't pay up. So bala payas is amelech. So the guy realizes, okay, his friend's going to be mad at him, but really what he's worried about is it's very insulting to the king. So what does the king say? El bone mochaluch locha. I can be, you know, mochal you. Lech upayas is chavercha. But the real issue is you have to go be mefayas your friend. Hachanami here also. So one refers to averos ben adam lamakom. One refers to ben adam lachavero. When we violate Hashem's covet by not keeping Shabbos, not keeping kashrus, not, you know, doing things that are mitzvos ben adam lamakom, so then Hashem could say, you know, I'll let it go. But if we do something wrong to somebody else, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not let it go. Even the ben adam lamakom shabo, right? When we do something wrong to somebody else, we're violating their own, and we're also violating the mitzvos of the Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to treat people properly. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not let go, necessarily. And the Gemara says, Ashibar Rabbi Kiva, Velimeid, Kan Kodim Gzardin, Kan La'achir Gzardin, that maybe the distinction is that before the Gemara Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could favor, but after the Gemara Din, what's done is done. Okay.